Well, welcome back, dolls, to another episode of So My Mom's a Therapist. You know, I'm starting to feel like a broken record when I say you're in for a treat today, but I think I get so much out of these individual podcasts. And this week I have my buddy Trey back on. Trey is a licensed marriage and family therapist out of Tennessee. We connected on TikTok. And you know, we said, let's just start today organically. Let's start with this idea of talking about resentment that couples feel in relationships, marriage and other kinds of relationship. And let's see where it takes us. And it was so fun. It ended up being a great balance between kind of laughing and joking and then really examining the psychological underpinnings of where we see relationships get stuck, where we see a disconnect in both communication and conflict, and him sharing more. You know, he's like, hey, I see a lot of guys, and let me share more from a guy perspective of what I see, and me saying, well, I am a girl, might as well jump in there. And both of us just having sat with a lot of couples and a lot of people, really examining where we see that couples get stuck and start to grow apart, and how they actually connect again and how they can repair. So won't you join me today as we talk about resentment and relationships? Okay, well, welcome back to So My Mom's a Therapist podcast. And I'm so happy to have joining me again, Trey. Trey, can you tell people a little bit about yourself and where they can find you?
Sure. My name is Trey Tucker. I am, the easiest place to find me is ruggedcounseling.com. So from there, you can get links to different things like the social medias, the podcast, which I have not done episodes for in a long time, and other types of links like that. But ruggedcounseling.com is the easiest place.
Right. And, you know, we met through TikTok and we did one episode, and I think both of us, not to speak for you, walked away and was like, oh, that was great. That was so easy, so flowing. So like, and you know, these are the kind of conversations we were just chatting a little bit before this. And these are the kind of conversations where you would literally be like meeting up with a friend, grabbing a drink and the conversations and being like, people, oh, I wish other people could hear this. This was so good. And so being able to bring it onto the podcast, these very organic conversations, it's great to have you back and to have you joining me again for this kind of conversation where I think so much comes of it.
Oh, yeah. I've been looking forward to this. Like you said, we had such just great back and forth. I was like, I can't wait to do this again. You get the just the synergy going. It was addictive.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so today we're going to get started. I'm actually, just a disclaimer, doing this from home. I usually try to do the podcast from the office, but had to take the pups out and manage family life. So if you hear barking, if you hear a cat go off, it is like a three-ring circus in here. So we're just going to say welcome to life, and we're going to keep going. So what I thought we'd start with is I did a video that, again, you know, TikTok's a funny thing. Sometimes you do a video and you're like, this is really good information. Like, I like this one. Oomph. And then it kind of like, everyone's like, yeah, yeah. And then you may do another one that just seems kind of neutral. Like, well, let's put that out there. And all of a sudden it gets a lot of traction.
Yeah.
You know, if you figure out that, please let me know, because who knows? But I just did one, and I thought we'd start there and then just take the conversation from there. But the video was really interesting. The video was about a relationship. It looked like they were married, husband and wife, and it was kind of like a funny one. And she said, you know, I asked him to help move the table, and 60 seconds later, and then it shows her kind of taking the table and putting it above her head and walking up the stairs herself. And this idea of What is healthy relationships, and where does resentment start to build? And I actually, the video I said on this was, wow, this is a really important topic for us to discuss, which is this sense of when I've asked somebody to help me in a relationship, when I've asked somebody to help me, what do I do from there? And my response was, well, that's where we actually check in with ourselves and say, do I want to say something or do I want to do something? And do I want to be able to grab a drink and plop myself on the couch and be like, well, let me know when you're ready and we'll do it together? Or do I just want to be like, you know, I really just want this move myself, so I'll just pick it up and I'll move the thing myself. And I couldn't believe how many responses were like, if I did that, I would still be pissed off. I would still be angry. And we were like, ooh, let's go in and talk there. Well, first of all, Trey, you being a therapist as well, have you seen this in relationships?
I have. And since most of my clients, I'd say 80% of my clients are men, my version of this type of an issue that gets brought to me is just a little bit different. It's the resentment of not so much house chores, but more conversations or things that don't get said or things that get assumed that they didn't say, that type of thing. But yeah, underneath it, resentment is still the common denominator there.
That you see as well.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you see as like some of the frustrations that you see from that men face in relationships?
A lot of it is, how do I put this in a sort of not of a 10-minute explanation? So I'll just speak freely here as myself. I don't represent all men, but I represent a lot of men that I've talked to. When I am saying something, I really mean what I'm saying. And so there's usually not a subtext to that. But then many times, someone else, oftentimes in a relationship context with a female, the assumption is, well, he said this, but he meant something else. And what I actually said was really what I really meant. So there is the communication conflict, but then there's also the resentment that comes from just please believe what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And that can often lead to other issues that I'm sure you're familiar with as well. But the other thing is when I'm not saying anything, when I'm just zoned out, when I'm not really mad, I'm not happy, I'm just kind of staring at the wall, I literally am not thinking of anything, which is right. Hard for to believe. So
yes, and I think that brings up that good point is like there's often like it's like they're speaking different languages. And mm-hmm. So it's being interpreted like your actions are being interpreted through their language, which is very different than your language. And I think this comes back to the idea of why that communication in a relationship is so important. That to tie that to the video I was talking about, that was my encouragement, is to be able to say, you know, if he says, give me 5 minutes and I'll do it, he actually means give me 5 minutes and I'll do it. And then I get to be able to sit down. And if that happens where the 5 minutes cuts up, either I'm like venting and seething and I'm now like, it's like all inside my body, or I can say to him, and this is what I had said in the follow-up video while I was putting on my makeup in the video. In the follow-up video, I was like, I don't have time for this shit. Like, we got to put our makeup on and make a video at the same time. And I was like, you can do what's called a track back. And this is talking about, again, that miscommunication in relationship where I can say, look, when I've asked for your help moving a table and 15 minutes has gone by and you haven't helped me, and then I do a track back, that makes me feel in my body, that makes me feel like I don't matter or I'm not important. Track backs are important because they fill in where there's often a miscommunication. Right. Mm-hmm. If not, then what happens? It just like sits in my body and seethes in my body. So for instance, even if your partner is just sitting there and they're just exhausted and they're zoning out, rather than putting a thought in their head, oh, I wonder if they're still ticked off about our conversation last night or fight last night. And then what often happens, we put a thought in somebody's head and then we react to that thought as if it's reality.
Right.
So even they're coming in with communication and saying, okay, you know, just want to check in how you're doing. Or when I see you zone out like that, this is where my body goes. So I'm not attacking. The goal is to communicate in a way that we're not attacking, is my thinking.
I love it. I love the term track backing because, you know, this so often the problem that we're talking about isn't really the problem. So
yeah.
It's not about the chair or the old video. It's not about the nail. You know, it's, I think a lot of the questions that come in a relationship is, are you going to show up for me when I need you in general, when I'm distressed, will you show up for me? And also, do you care enough about me to notice me? Even when you're busy, do you at least care to have the empathy to notice what I'm doing as well? So the table is just, I think, a representation of some of those needs. And you don't get to those needs or see those needs until you track back.
It's so true. And you named the two areas of track back that you're tracking back into that are the two areas that I'm always focusing on. What are the things people are looking for? Love and safety.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you have my back? Do I feel safe with you? Do I feel like you're there and that you have my back, that you're there to support and protect me? And it's a safe relationship. And do I feel loved and that I matter? Two areas that always, almost invariably, will always track back to one of those two areas.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
That deep. Well, what would you say if somebody has like built up like hurt feelings? So now, and this is part of the video too, is that literally it's like 30 seconds in, they're like, fine, I'll do it myself. And I'm like, well, if you're like popping off after 30 seconds, it already tells you it has nothing to do with the table and more to do with that mountain that's sitting there. Yeah. One of the questions that I didn't answer that were in the comments was, what do you do? And I think this is really relevant to a lot of people that listen to this podcast. What do you do with a built up mountain of hurt or resentment towards your partner? How do you deal with that?
Wow. man, how long do we have in this podcast? So I think if we're dealing with the immediate moment when we're talking with our partner, I think it goes back to what you're talking about is invite them behind the curtain, literally tell them, hey, this is how I'm feeling in my body. Even if you don't necessarily know what it's connected to from the past, you can say, I have a hunch that it's probably connected to something more than just this. So that's in the moment, because if you're vulnerable and you're showing a little bit of uncertainty in yourself, then I think a lot of times the partner will reciprocate that and say, oh yeah, you know what? You're taking a risk by letting me in. I'm going to take a risk and let you in. But then long term, of course, and we can get into this however much you want, but dealing with that mountain from the past is all about healing those wounds.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's where somebody like you or I can come in, is to say, can we get a third party in there sometimes to help do it? Because oftentimes it's like, I don't want to touch the mountain, because if I start talking about that mountain, then it feels like a dam breaks. And then I'm just super emotional, or I just start crying, or I almost don't want to touch that mountain because I'm afraid of what I'm going to find there. I don't know how big that mountain, I don't know how far that iceberg goes down.
Yes.
And so recognizing that you can get a third party in to help navigate that. But here's the thinking, if we don't start to address those hurts, they just build and build till it's the smallest thing. It's almost like everybody's already ready to mount up. It doesn't take much for them, for like swords to be come out, for arrows to be drawn, because, and if you start to feel like you're already agitated, that's, dolls, this is your place to say like, oh, I think I'm already there, and I think I've got to deal with that mountain of hurt. Now, one of the questions I get asked a lot is like, well, how do I make, like, what do I do if I've already said something and I'm frustrated and they're not helping me? Where do you go from there? Where do you go in a relationship where you feel like I have communicated and I'm not seeing the changes that I need to see? What then?
Wow. So
do you love how I just keep putting you on the spot? I love that we didn't talk about any of this, and I'm like, here's another little gem. Let me just lob it out there for you.
That's right. Solve this massive issue. So
here's world hunger while you're at it. Just
so just to make sure I'm understanding, you're asking in that context, in the immediate moment of that disagreement, whether it's about a table or whatever, if you've said something that you didn't really mean, or you've realized that it's about more than what you just said.
Yeah.
Are you asking what to do then if your partner doesn't reciprocate?
Yeah. If you have a client that comes to you and is like, Trey, I've tried this over and over again. I keep communicating. I keep saying, hey, I need your help. Hey, when you say you're going to help me, it doesn't, and they've done all, they've communicated, and their partner still isn't like helping or engaging or like doing what they feel is like, you know, again, that part of the relationship. Where do we go from there?
I have tried other alternatives before. I insist on both couples coming, or both members of the couple coming in, but everything that I keep trying, short of them coming in, when they're both stuck like that, it ends up feeling like the one partner is almost trying to manipulate the other one, because mm-hmm. what they're both trying, their tactics, they've worked in the past, maybe a little bit, but that's the only tactics they've got. So for me, at that point, at that juncture, if it's a dead end communication, you got to get them in the same room with somebody who can be a bit of a mediator. Doesn't have to be a therapist. This is not me trying to advertise for all therapists, but somebody to be more objective and point out, okay, you're doing this, you're doing that. Is that actually what you're trying to accomplish?
Right. Is being able to go back and say, what we are doing isn't working. Right. And saying, if we don't do anything different, nothing's going to change. I think where a lot of couples get into problems, particularly I can speak more to the female side, is that they're trying to get their partner to jump in this box. And if I can just get you in this box, then we'll be good. Rather than simply saying, this is who my partner is, I'm not sure this is working for me. And coming to that place of saying, this isn't working for me. And if we don't do anything different, nothing's going to change. And therapy or another third party are saying like, this is not, a lot of times I found that people won't say, they won't get to a place where they say, this isn't working for me, because they're afraid like, well, does that mean I need to leave? Does that mean like, no, I just have to actually address, like, let me just put that in front of me. This is not working for me. Right. And so when things aren't working, we just keep trying to say, well, if my partner would just do this X, Y, and Z, if they would just do this X, Y, and Z, get in the box, you know, walk in the door and give me a kiss, or just, you know, pick up their laundry. If they would just do this, and we're just trying to shove them into a box rather than saying, this is who they are. that reality of this is who they are, does that work for me?
Right. Yeah. Because anything short of that is really going to backfire. The more I try to put somebody else in a box, or really, if I'm putting myself in the position of somebody trying to put me into a box, right, my own defenses come up and I'm not getting that box, mainly because now you want me to do it.
Yeah. Well, I think this is what's so helpful. And I love that we have the male-female interaction here, because I get to be able to hear. Yeah. Yeah. What's it like for a guy to feel like, and I heard you say, like, it just actually makes me want to like dig in my feet anymore. If I feel like you're like trying to like control, mm-hmm, then when I feel like someone's trying to control me, what is it? Yeah. What do you find your body responds, or you see men respond?
Oh, yeah. Whether it's my own versions of this in the past or talking to other guys in therapy, it's, we literally feel in our body like we've got to put up our dukes and defend ourselves as if somebody is attacking us physically. The chest gets tight, my arms get tight. Like, mm-hmm, it's either I'm going to have to defend myself and duck and cover, or I'm going to have to run away. But what I've also found is when somebody's trying to put us into a box, it really communicates. You know, he talked about some of those needs earlier about love and safety. I think, you know, men have that a lot too. And we also have the need for respect and being enough, being man enough, being good enough. And if somebody's trying to put me in a box, then the unspoken message that I'm taking away is, well, if you want me in this box, then that means who I am is just not good enough. I'm a
not
failure.
Not enough. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not enough. I'm a failure of man. That the idea of being a failure to a man, ooh, that's if not the biggest fear, it's one of them.
Yeah. And so, and gosh, recognize that's what like kind of hits at the core there. What do you think is effective ways to be able to communicate? Because that doesn't mean like, then, I mean, let's talk about girl side being like, well, then am I supposed to just like roll over and be fine with everything? I mean, how do I communicate in a way when I'm not happy that doesn't trigger that survival response or that sense of somebody trying to control you? Let's talk about, yeah, what is healthy. I love where we're going by this. This is like, I feel like I'm like, oh my gosh, people have to hear this. This is like healthy. Like, this is like, let's save your marriage kind of talk. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, part of it is some people want to hash that argument out right there in the moment. Mm-hmm. Other people need to take the cool off time. And I think that can go back into your analogy of fit in the box. Like, if I want to finish this argument now, mm-hmm, and you need time to cool off, we have to figure out, okay, how are we going to compromise here? Mm-hmm. Because both, we can't do both at the same time. But I think if people are stuck in that pattern, it really does take both people individually saying, hey, here's what I noticed going on in me. And, you know, you can put your own language to that. It doesn't have to sound therapy-ish.
Right, right. You know,
but let them behind the curtain, tell them, hey, here's what I'm noticing. Not in a judgmental way, not in a, I feel this way because of you. It's just like, here's what I'm noticing. What should we do about it? And then, yeah, the other person needs to do the same. And then from there, if they both acknowledge, okay, here is this entity, here's the thing that's going on inside of us, it kind of separates identity from whatever's going on in the moment. So it's not so personal. And then we can take a look and say, okay, what do we want to do about this challenge?
That situation. And I love that hand motion you just made where you kind of held it away from your body. So it's not as personal. It's about the situation. So my worth and your worth are not called into question.
Exactly.
That's so, and I think that's the key part right there. You also tripped on, or you talked about tripping on those survival mechanisms. When your brain trips into those buckets, I use the language bumped out of your zone, and you get into survival mechanisms, you're going to have those that are like the ones that want to lean in and I need to resolve this now. And you're going to have the ones that literally feel like a squirrel is like in their body scratching to get out. Like, where they are just like, I'm out. And I think one of the keys there, if you are somebody who tends to be more of a fleer, like you just need to get out of that space, what's really important is to be able to communicate to your partner, I am going to take space. Give me an hour or 30 minutes and I will circle back around. Somebody who has their partner leave the room, man, that can, in a trauma body, that can, it's like, it is like abandonment 101.
Yes.
Like abandonment 101. So that person needs to know, I need to breathe. I'm going to take a breath. Give me, and they need a time limit. They need some kind of time limit that you will circle back around so their body can say, okay, hold on. They're coming back. Right. And then be able, again, there's that backing out of the traffic jam, taking a breath, and then coming back in again and talking about it.
Yes. And here's, I'm sure you've seen this. If you don't talk about this moment before you're in the moment, then it's almost impossible to navigate it. So
yeah.
When you're both calm, you got to say, hey, here are my tendencies. You know, I'm a big baseball and football fan. And so scouts are massive, right? So scouts spend time observing a player, watching his tendencies, having that written down. Mm-hmm. And then the player learns his own tendencies so that he can then make adjustments. So we got to have our own scouting report. We got to know ourselves well enough to know, am I a fleer? You know, how am I in these moments so that I can say to my partner, hey, I'm calm right now. We're calm right now. So why don't we game plan for the next time things aren't so calm?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't share much about my personal life, but I'm going to share this story because it's so relevant. My sweet guy, he had a therapy session this week, and he came out of his therapy session this week. He doesn't listen to this, by the way, which is fantastic. Love it. And it'll stay that way. He came out of this week, his therapy at this appointment this week, and he said, well, my therapist says my little boy has been driving the bus. And I said, I was, of course, in my head being like, oh, yeah, I could have told you that. And he was like, yeah. And you know what she told me? When my little boy is driving that bus, that little boy can't see over the steering wheel. So he's crashing into a lot of things. And I was like, oh, this is getting good. And she's like, she said, and I need to work on building a muscle that can say to this little boy, I know that you want to run. I know you want to fight. I know you have all those feelings, but how about I put my hands on the bus and I help steer the bus so we don't crash into anything. And I was just like, oh, this is so good. I wanted to like email his therapist and be like, I love you. Like, I love you. But I didn't. Yes. I refrained. But I thought that was like that's so many of us when we get tripped and that little boy or that little girl in us just kind of takes over and they panic, right? And they have these very reactive responses. And being able to build this muscle inside of us that has more of this grown up part that is both nurturing and protective that says, okay, how about we calm down here? I know you want to run away or I know you want to fight, but how do we calm down? Let me get my hands on the bus. Let's steer it a little bit better so we're not running into anything, right? And have those kind of conversations that actually are productive. When you're blown out of your zone, you can't have productive conversations. Cannot have them.
Look, that brings up a question I love to ask you. What have you found helps people calm down in the moment?
You know, it's different for everybody. What could be challenging in the relationship dynamic is for one person, this is what you were alluding to earlier, for one person, getting out of the room can calm them down, where the other person, touch is what calms them down. I'm one that like, I just need like almost like a hug or a tight squeeze actually regulates my body. And that's part of what I work on with clients is building the tool belt for them that is both self-regulating and co-regulating. We don't want one or the other. What can I do to regulate myself and help my body calm down? And what can I ask or get outside of me or ask my partner from? If you only rely on your partner, then it's the sense of if I'm not regulated, we are blaming them and it's their fault. And if you would just do this, I would be okay. No. And if you just self-regulate, then there's not part of you that needs your partner as well. And that's important too. And so it's that self-regulating and co-regulating. But I usually go sensory-based, a run, boxing bag, music, right? A weighted blanket. I'm a huge fan of weighted blankets. Like this is just like, you know, even a glass of wine, which I would call a questionable resource for some people, because again, any questionable resource, if it goes too far, it can be more hurtful than it can helpful. But I'm telling you, a good glass of wine, that can calm your body right down.
You got that right.
So, yeah. And that's, how about for you? What have you found are things that help people calm their nervous system? Again, we're going from that sympathetic state back into a parasympathetic state.
Yeah. All of those techniques you just talked about are ones that I recommend. And then I also ask people just in general, okay, when you are working through something in your own head, are you more of a sound person? Do you see pictures in your head? Do you see movies in your head? Do you need to move? And basically we just move in whatever direction kind of feels more like a click for them. So yeah, it could be music, could be going for the jog. I tell, because I work with a lot of guys, I say, all right, drop down and do 20 push-ups or 20 jumping jacks. Or a lot of times if you're already kind of worked up, if you can just lay down on the ground and, you know, obviously depending on where you are, you can modify this stuff, but lay down on the ground and put your hand on your chest and just start breathing and just, you know, watch your hand as you're breathing. You know, that I think I might have done a video on this, the hand over the chest sends signals to the brain it activates that same part of the brain as when somebody's giving us a hug. So
yeah. I love that. There's also a technique, and I'm not trained in it, so I'm just speaking out the side of my mouth, but I have like walked through some of it. It's called havening, where you're actually, if you can't see me, it's like I'm giving myself a hug, and then it's like you're moving your hands up and down your arms. And it is that sense of, and if you're listening, I'm going to have you try this real quick because it's really interesting. If you feeling your own touch moving up and down, go ahead and just like pretend like you're hugging yourself and then just kind of move your hands up and down. And I want you to focus on just feeling the touch of like your hands against your body, you know, even just feeling like skin or something. What's that like even for you as you're doing it?
Yeah, it definitely puts me right here in the moment. My thoughts about future or past stuff kind of got pulled right to the present.
Right to the present. Right. Grounding you back in your body. And that's one that you can try. I'm with you. I tend to go more sensory based and more into, and I love that. Like what for you, do you go more visual? Do you go more audio? Is something very, that very calms you down, a eucalyptus or a lavender? Like what do you find is one of those things that really brings you down? The other thing too is we want to be aware of the energy and pressure that kind of builds in our body, even if it's not relationships, just stress in life. And sometimes we're like a balloon that gets so inflated that we need to be like, where are we getting, like, where are we getting some of that, just that tension, that energy in our body? Where are we getting it out? Because if not, we tend to point it towards the people that feel the safest. And those are usually the people under our roof. Right. And so they'll get all that air, that fire hydrant coming at them. And so we need to find other places to point that.
Yeah, man, that's such a good point. As people often wonder, why can I be so nice to somebody I don't know as well, and then turn right around and be just an absolute jerk to somebody I know really well? But it really, like you said, it really does come down. It's safety. I feel safe enough to be me with that person, so they get the worst of me at times.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that because there is this like subconscious sense of like, well, they're not going to go anywhere. They're not going to leave, or they're not going to stop loving me. So that makes our body almost give us permission to like, well, we can take it out on them. We don't say that, but it's just kind of how our body yeah. responds.
Right.
You know, kind of going where our theme is today, like if you had to give some of your top advice for like healthy relationships, what comes to mind?
You actually reminded me of this a couple of minutes ago, and I'm going to say the shorter version of it is I have to figure out what mindset am I in this relationship. Is it one called I'm not okay and it's your fault? Like you said, if I'm not getting regulated, if I can't get a hug and you're not doing, you know, that's, I'm not doing well and you better do something about it or else kind of a thing. So I'm not okay and it's your fault. Or the opposite of that is I'm filled up with love already. I'm in a place of fulfillment and I'm here to give.
So yeah.
Instead of me trying to get you to do something so that I'll be okay, I'm going to figure out, okay, I know how to get myself back in my chill zone instead of bumped out of my zone, like you say.
Right.
I'm going to be in a place where I can give out rather than take, take, take. That's, for me, that's where I at least start to help somebody see where are you more often in this relationship.
Yeah, I love that. That, you know, that reminds me of when long time ago when I was in school, and we had to do a paper on a marriage that we felt was the best marriage we saw around us, or a good relationship, and they wanted us to interview the couple. And one of my sisters, I come from like a big family, there's five of us, but one of my sisters, her marriage always seemed like real people, but like legitimately, I'm like, dude, you guys got it dialed in. I mean, they would be like, they'd go to the rodeo together. They'd travel together. Like they like would go play tennis here. Like they liked each other and they really had it like dialed in. So I went over and I interviewed them, and I still remember, I'm like, what do you think is the key? And I remember her husband, Andy, saying, well, I can't speak for her, but what I've always gone into this relationship with this mindset, if I'm focused on like, how can I make her life better? How can I almost like outserve her? Like almost like, which they're both college athletes. So, I mean, the fact that he could out, I mean, that's so, the competitive nature is just there. Like, I'm going to like knock this, like, I'm not going to knock the shit out of this like husband stuff. Right. You know, and he's just like, how can I like serve her? And I really, it was because whatever you pay attention to grows. If I'm paying attention to the lack or I'm not getting, you will find it. We all do, even the healthiest of relationships. If I'm focused on how can I make their life better? How can I show them I love them? How can I help make, again, it's that talking about a baseball team mentality. It's not just playing your position. It's also being aware of how I can back up. So if I'm a second baseman, how can I also back up? I need to be aware. How can I back up the first baseman when he needs it? How can I also be aware of who else needs help and how do I communicate? And the other part too is I think being able to communicate, because someone could easily say, that's all fine and dandy, but I'm really not getting what I need. And that's starting to look, how can I find my voice, do those track backs? If you're just blaming, the other person just puts up their defense mechanisms, you don't get anywhere. So how do I learn to communicate different effectively so I'm able to say, this is what's going on in my body, this is what I'm not getting, and then being able to take that hard look and say, this is who I really have. This is who I have. Does this work for me?
Yeah, absolutely. And man, it does get scary when you start asking that question, does this work for me? But like you said, also, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to end the relationship.
Yes.
If this is who the person is, and right now this is not working for me, then one of the questions becomes, can we together figure out how to meet each other's needs in a healthy way? And eventually, if you cannot, after you've tried everything but the kitchen sink, then maybe it's time to talk about the relationship itself. But you don't have to jump right to that just catastrophic conclusion.
To me, this is that pivotal moment of the podcast where I really feel like if there's, and I hate when people say this, like maybe this was just meant for you, or, you know, if you are in that place, but I'm going to say it. If you are in the place, maybe you just need to hear it is okay. Give yourself permission to ask yourself, take a good look at what's in front of you. This is what you have. Does this work for you? Can you give yourself permission to answer that? Meaning it doesn't mean you have to do anything about it in this moment, but just hear yourself say, actually, no. What's it like to hear yourself say? Maybe say aloud right now, no. And what's that like to hear yourself say that? And it may be different emotions. It may be sadness. It may be relief, but just see what you notice in your body. Well, I think we're kind of wrapping up. I think we're kind of getting there. I love where we go with our sessions. Sessions. It feels like we're like just like having this. Like I feel like I'm getting my own therapy here, Trey. I feel like
it's joint therapy.
Any last thoughts as we wrap up?
I love the fact that we're trying to. I mean, I like you just said, we're working on ourselves here as well. It's not that we're sitting here in some perfected place of we always get this right. I think we're just showing people, hey, here's maybe we're a few steps farther down the road from our own experience, from our education, whatever it is, but showing people that this is a process and connecting your brain and your body is not something I don't think you ever fully finish and you're some expert at. So, but I think it really does start with that brain and your body, because as we've talked about before, those thoughts can create this hurricane and we start reacting out of our trauma.
Absolutely. No, that fits so well. So somebody I met through TikTok, an artist, and he was in Los Angeles and he was like, hey, we had talked about meeting up and grabbing a drink and just like, because we had connected so well on TikTok and, you know, very different lifestyle than I know of, like, you know, traveling and touring and fame. And it was just really interesting. But we met and he said, you seem so balanced. He said, do you preach this stuff or are you actually that balanced? And I said something very similar. I said, well, a lot of what I'm talking about when it comes to my brain and body are things that is work I've done myself. I'd say I'm maybe a little bit more balanced than some females? Probably so. You know, just age helps. Age helps, but also really leaning into those hard areas of my life and myself and wanting to feel better in this body. And so that this is a pleasant body to live in. And at the same time, I still lose my shit. I'm still human. I have emotions. I blow it. And I have to go back to the people I love and say, I like fucked up. Like, I'm so sorry. And if I could do it over again, because we are human. And so understanding until we take our last breath, we are under construction. We are under construction. And that's why it's so important that you have grace for yourself along the way.
Absolutely. People, I am one who will beat myself up for not having it exactly right. And that's another way I've had to learn how to connect brain and body. And it has to do with past stuff of my own. So having to learn it. I'm having to learn it as I go. And like you, I think I'm fairly well balanced, but I've still got plenty of room to grow.
Yeah, no, same. I feel like the minute I'm like, oh, look at girls going, and then I'm like, fall flat on my face. I'm like, damn, we're here again. The minute I'm like, I've got this shit. I've got this. I've got this down. And then I'm like, whoosh, face plant. Welcome.
Yep. Well, once, it always takes us down.
It does. Hard. Once again, so people can find you on TikTok, Rugged Counseling.
Yep, Rugged Counseling is the username, and you can, I think you can just search Trey Tucker on there, and it should come up just as easily.
Awesome. Trey, always a pleasure to have you on. Look forward to having you back again.
Me too. I can't wait.
All right, take care.